Thank you. It's our privilege today to have Reverend Ryan Frack with us from the United Methodist Children's Home in Deltona. I'm going to invite Reverend Frack up, please. He's here with his aunt today. We're glad to have her, too. Thank you for being here. And Ryan and I have met a couple of times. Ryan, how long have you been at the Children's Home now?
It has been almost 3 years.
About 3 years. Yeah. So we appreciate him. He works at the Children's Home there. And that's for you, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
And he's going to bring us the message today, and today is the fifth Sunday, so this is a good day for us to do this. So does that work?
That's great. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is an honor to be with you all, and I don't know that I have ever seen a church more full on the Sunday after Christmas. And I know that is not an anomaly here that goes on throughout the year, but we lovingly, amongst the church, call the Sunday after Christmas Associate Pastor Sunday. So it is really awesome to have you all here, and I know that is indicative of the work that is doing here and the passion that you all have. So it is indeed an honor to be with you. I, as Pastor Steve mentioned, I am the Director of Church Relations at the Children's Home. It is my honor to share with folks around the conference about the Children's Home. It's a ministry that you all, I know, here at Lake Gibson have supported very vehemently over the years, and so it is indeed an honor just to share amongst friends about a ministry that you are making happen. So as we begin, I invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. If not, I believe the words will be on the screen, but I will be reading from the Common English Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who helped you to believe. Each one had a role given to them by the Lord. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Because of this, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but the only one who is anything is God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together, but each one will receive their own reward for their own labor. We are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. I laid a foundation like a wise master builder according to God's grace that was given to me, but somebody else is building on top of it. Each person needs to pay attention to the way that they build on it. No one can lay any other foundation besides the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So whether someone builds on top of the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, or hay, each one's work will be clearly shown. The day will make it clear, because it will be revealed with fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. And if anyone's work survives, they'll get a reward. But if anyone's work goes up in flames, they'll lose it. However, they themselves will be saved as if they have gone through a fire. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to read your word. We thank you for its truth in our lives and the light that it is to our path and to our world. And we ask that as we hear it read and proclaimed, that you would illumine our hearts this morning through your word. Help us to see you just a little bit more clearly today because of your word. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And as we begin, we have a short video I'd like to share with you all about the ministry of the Children's Home to kind of set the tone for our time together this morning.
Christmas here at the Children's Home, it's a big deal. You know, they're not going to be able to see mom or dad or any relative around about this time. Upbeat for them is giving, is sharing. We all come together to make a birthday cake for Jesus. Somebody mix, somebody pour, somebody crack an egg. you know, that kind of thing. And as long as everybody having a part to play in it, it's just joyful. But this is one time we are all coming collectively, you know, thinking about one thing, and that's not ourselves, that's not our problems, but it's about Jesus. It's his death. I want to say thank you. I want to say, listen, we at the Children's Home, we love you. We thank you. We need you because we want to let the kids know that there is hope, that there is somebody out there thinking about them.
Thank you. And I invite y'all, as you leave this place and are thinking about the Children's Home, we do have that video as well as other videos. We have a longer version as well available on our YouTube. But that's just a brief kind of intro to the Children's Home. And I don't know if you could hear, it was a little groovy this morning. But it's a brief intro into the way that a holiday like Christmas gets played out over a population of children for whom Christmas can be a really difficult holiday. So I invite you to go check that out on your own as you'd like. I'd like to begin this morning by talking to you all about Kenny. Kenny is a young man. He's a middle schooler who had been in our care for about a year. He's a very likable young man, somebody who's gotten really involved at the Children's Home. But one thing that became pretty clear about Kenny pretty early on was that he really struggled with the spiritual component of the Children's Home. Kenny pushed back on the idea of faith. In fact, he was regularly known to ask the spiritual life staff members, he would say, "Ugh, do we have to talk about that God stuff again?" And for many of us in the church, that's hard for us to imagine because God is our safe place, amen? God is the one who delivers us and who guides us. But for many children just like Kenny, God has not always been a safe figure. God has not always been one who has been seen as worthy of praise or of worship. The kids who come to the Children's Home come for many different reasons. Some of them have been abused, and about 80% come to us by way of the state because of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. The other 20% come to us by any way other than the state. All of them have experienced trauma at some level. And many of them, taking it a step further, have been harmed by people who either represent the church, or maybe they've been harmed by people who represent God. At the very least, many of them, just like Kenny, blame God for some of the things that they've gone through. So all of a sudden, God has been brought into the trauma that they've experienced. So Lake Gibson, all of a sudden, it is not as hard for us to imagine why kids like Kenny might not want to talk about that God stuff. Each child, as I said, come to us by many unique ways. All of them have a story kind of uniquely their own, but the unifying characteristic that unites all of the kids in our care is the experience of trauma. All of them in our care have been hurt, and they are dealing with a great loss of control. And when I talk about losing control, certainly that is something that we are acutely aware of at the Children's Home. You know, I'd be willing to bet that that's not a unique experience to the Children's Home, is it? I think all of us, even all of us as believers, navigate an interesting relationship with control, don't we? I'd be willing to wager that if I asked you how you handle a loss of control, many of you would squirm in your seats. Some of you might get up and just conveniently leave at this moment because this is not something we're comfortable talking about, is it? I know I don't like to admit that I am powerless against some of the things that I struggle with in my own life. I like to think that I am the master of my own destiny, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And like many of you, I've seen this ring truer and truer the older that I get, and certainly my children have brought that about in my own life. I don't control many things in my life anymore. Amen? Y'all with me? Now, growing up, I don't know if I shared this with you all the last time I was here, but I'm actually, Lakeland is my hometown. So coming here, Lake Gibson is not only a special community, but I know this town really well. This is the town that raised me, that loved me, that I continue to hold very fond memories of. So growing up here in Lakeland, I was the eldest of three. And for most of my formative years, my mom was a single mother raising all of us. And the miraculous thing about all of that is that all three of us, knock on wood, have turned out relatively okay, praise the Lord. And so I can remember my aunt's telling me, yeah, all right. Any true stories, you can go to her. So I remember I had a conversation with my mom. My wife and I are married now. We have two kids. Long before the kids were in the picture, frankly, even before my wife and I were an item, I had a conversation with my mom that many of you may have had with your parents. I was old enough to realize what she had sacrificed, so I just said, how'd you do it? How did you manage three jobs? How did you run the household in a way that, number one, we survived, but number two, that we came out okay and that we knew that we were loved and that we mattered? How did you make that happen? And I remember my mom looked at me and she said, I don't know. I guess my approach was you just give everything you can, and then at night you hope that it's enough. You hope that it's enough. I have a pastor mentor of mine. He's got three boys who are also all out of the house. One of them's married, and they're all relatively okay as well. And I asked him the same question, how did you do it? His answer was much more blunt. He said, well, our approach was you give them everything you got, you try as hard as you can, and then when they turn 21, you cut them a check for all the therapy you're going to owe them. So wherever you all fall on that spectrum of parenting, there is no judgment here, I will tell you. But in all of that, isn't there some truth that we can't control the things that come to us, right? Hope is what guides what we do. Certainly as a parent, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for hope. Amen? It's what guides everything that we do. It's what keeps us going. It's the hope that one day we're going to get where we hope we're going. And tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to be doing it better than we did today, but it's all by hope. And see, even as believers, when we come to Scripture, we don't often get a roadmap to how everything's going to turn out, do we? Do you have any folks here who like everything spelled out for you, or am I the only one? If someone asks me to do something, I like to know where I'm going to start, where I'm going to end, and when it's going to be over, and that I'm going to be okay, hopefully, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're one of those people like me, Scripture can often be a daunting place to turn. Because while God has tons of promises for us, we don't often get that clear roadmap, do we? We get some very vague things that lead us to more vague things and asking more questions, which really draws us closer to God and to one another. God doesn't spell things clearly for us. But what God does have for us, and one thing that brings me hope, and I pray it does for you as well, is the promise that if we bring our true selves, if we come to God with our honesty, with our fears and our doubts and our questions, that God does use those things, as well as our talents and our gifts, God used those things to bring about growth. Even in our scripture this morning, Paul is using the imagery of gardening, and he talks about bringing to life a plant. And what he says is that he acknowledges the work that each person plays in the life of a plant, because you know that there are seasons that go into the life of the plant. Somebody plants the seed. Well, first of all, somebody prepares the soil. Somebody plants the seed. Somebody waters it. Somebody here in Florida removes the Spanish moss and the leaves. Hello. Somebody prunes it. Somebody even gets the enviable job of harvesting. And sometimes the same person does every job, but often different people play different roles at different times in the life of the plant. And what Paul says is that while each one plays an important role, the most important role is the one who brings about the growth, and that is God. So the person who plants and the person who waters and the person who prunes can know that God is using each of their seasons and each of their gifts to do mighty, mighty things. So in that way, really, the particularities and nuances of each of our lives kind of force us to rely on God, because we can't see the full picture. What we're going through right now kind of requires us to trust that God's going to do something great with it. You do that each week with the offering that you're doing, your love and action offering. You trust that God is going to make a difference in each and every dollar that you put out into the world. Because we know that God brings hope, God brings new life out of our meager offerings. Now, the mission of your Florida United Methodist Children's Home is empowering children and families to experience the transforming love of Christ through holistic care. And since 1908, we've done that through planting seeds, through watering, and through hoping that it's enough. And praise God, we have seen that it is. Now, what I will tell you is that central to the work of the children's home is the spiritual life department. We base everything that we do off the life and ministry of Jesus. So we have a chaplain who oversees all of the ministries of the children's home. In fact, they are worshiping right now as we speak in Enterprise, also in our northern campus in Madison. They are learning what it means to be loved and to be told that they matter by a God who created them. We have a youth group on Wednesdays. The youth group is called Spark. That's a name that the kids came up with. And gives them a chance to delve a little bit deeper into faith. On Sunday mornings, they have worship. They get a chance to be a part of the worship band. They get to be to lead to be acolytes and to lead prayers. We want them to understand that God loves them and that God has prioritized them. And I want to share with you all. I talked a little bit about Kenny. Remember the young man who didn't want to talk about this God stuff. At the beginning of this past year, Kenny joined about 7 other children and staff members on a mission trip down in Fort Lauderdale. And they were doing some work, particularly with folks who experience homelessness in the Fort Lauderdale community. And each evening, they had one of the spiritual life team members do a devotion, kind of do a mini sermon. And so one of the evenings, there was a spiritual team leader who had done a lesson that alluded to prayer and talked about praying. And so afterward, Kenny and one of his friends went up to this spiritual life staff member and he said, okay, you're talking about prayer. What does that mean? You got to teach us because we're not really following what you mean. And so the staff member did. And right there, he taught them to pray. And in fact, for the rest of the mission trip, they closed each evening together, just the 3 of them, praying. And now you can use your imagination as to the creativity of middle school boys' prayers. But nonetheless, they were honest, they were vulnerable, and they were real. And so the mission trip finished up. It was a great success. The kids had a great time. And a few months later, Kenny was meeting with Pastor Madeline, our chaplain, just to check in on his life and how he's doing with meeting his goals. And so it was a good conversation. Kenny got up to leave, and at the end, he turned around and he said, you know I'm still praying, right? This young man who didn't want to talk about that God stuff said, you know, not only am I praying for you and for your staff and your significant others, but I'm praying that God would continue to use you to make this a safe place for kids like me. And that's what planting seeds is about, isn't it? It's about allowing kids just like Kenny to come with their very real doubts, with their very real struggles and hang-ups, with their very real talents and gifts, and simply be themselves, asking for God to guide them. We also have our residential care program serving kids ages 6 to 17. In that program, they learn what it means to be a part of a stable and loving home. They also meet with a therapist weekly to process some of the things they've gone through. We have an on-campus school to meet some of the real pressing educational needs we have in Enterprise. Our kids in Madison and our northern campus go to local public schools. But in Enterprise, we have a campus called Legacy Scholars Academy that is a full-fledged Volusia County school, about 6th through 12th grade now. And we have Volusia County staff, administration, but they're small class sizes, and the teachers are given extra training to meet some of the specialized needs. We now have had 4 graduating classes of seniors, and we think this program is really setting up our children for success to meet the needs of themselves and their families as they leave our care. We have an independent living program preparing them for the time after they leave our care. As I said, we have our campus in North Florida, which is identical to Enterprise in almost every way. But the one thing that sets Madison apart is that we can actually do equine therapy right on property. Do we have any horse people in here? Any folks that work with horses? Any folks that like horses? Anyone who's ever seen a horse? Okay, cool. I knew I'd get somebody, so horses provide a really cool avenue to connecting with our children from a therapeutic approach. And so we've got some really exciting things that are happening in Madison. We also provide foster care for families in five counties across the state. That's one of our largest areas of ministry. And then, of course, we have our early childhood education program. It's basically a Montessori-based preschool that is going on 40 years now of serving community children, staff children, and foster children in the Enterprise area. So we are really proud of the things that are happening at the Children's Home. And all of those ministries are done with the goal of helping the kids to understand that God loves them, that God has a purpose for their life, and that they are bigger than the things that they've gone through. And I talked about the image of planting seeds, and that is what our ministry is about. It seems kind of appropriate that even coming out of Advent and now into the Christmas season, we talk a lot about light, don't we? In Advent, it's a time where we lean on hope and trust and faith and peace and love as we await the promised birth of the Christ child, which means for us, hope for us and for our world. But as Pastor Steve shared just at the beginning of the service, we are certainly in need of hope even after Christmas. Amen? The light has come into the world, and yet the darkness is still around us. And what we remember, I love what you said, that the darkness has not, it cannot, it will not overcome. And yet we need that hope in the midst of what we're walking through. Certainly there are families in this church, I know in the community and in the Crystal Lake community, and of course all of the things you shared around the world and in our country. We need that light and that hope. And that's what seed planting is about. So when we celebrate, even walking in our darkness, we know that God has promised us that He is always with us. And so we lean on that, not only in the Advent season, but moving forward. And that's what the Christian life is about, isn't it? It's walking through each of our journeys, both individually and together, leaning on one another, on the gifts, on the talents, on the passions, on the struggles, on the doubts. And together we can walk step by step as we walk into the light that God has promised for us. So Lake Gibson, I'm here not only to tell you all about one of the ways that you are planting seeds, that you are shining light. But I'm also here to thank you, because it's through your support that the Children's Home is able to do what it does. So I'd like to ask you all just a couple things, if you will. Please be praying for us. Add us to your prayer list. I know it's already there, but pray for our children particularly, that God might speak a word of hope to them through our staff, that God might mend the families that have gone through brokenness. Secondly, I want to invite you to come check us out on social media. As I said, we have some YouTube videos available as well. Would love for you all to come visit us. I know the kitchens are taking over as the Children's Home reps after the ACORS have had a long history of supporting the Children's Home, being the representatives here. You all have a history being very active and hands-on in the ministry of the Children's Home. So if you'd like, I'm sure they would be happy to organize a tour to come over and see us. We have an event in the spring called Day on Campus, March 28th. It is a day-long open house. It's a chance for you to see with your own eyes what the ministry of the Children's Home is about. And of course, through your offerings, particularly your Fifth Sunday offerings, you are continuing to make a difference in the Children's Home. I'll be here after the service to answer any questions you have. But friends, if there's one thing you take away from the sermon today, I pray that it's the fact that God uses our faithfulness, uses everything that we are and everything that we bring to bring about growth in our world, in our light. That as we come out of the Advent and into the Christmas season, that God's light would continue to shine through each of us and into our world. For we know the world desperately needs it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, will you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for your light. A light that we celebrate not just one time a year, but a light on which we depend each and every day. God, we'd ask that those words that we speak, that the darkness would not overcome the light. We pray that those words would ring true in our lives, in our community, and in our world. And God, where we doubt, where we struggle, where we falter, may we continue to lean on your hope. For we know, O God, that your hope does not disappoint us. We pray this in all things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Ron, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Question number one. How many kids are in Enterprise? Around 100?
So it's on average about 85.
All right, and at Madison?
Madison, between 10 to 12.
Okay, because there's only one or two homes built up there.
Yeah, there's only two up in Madison.
There's more planned in the future.
Sure, yes.
How many foster kids are in the five counties?
So foster families, we have, I believe we have about 100 homes serving about 200 children.
Okay.
So in all of those in those counties.
And did I understand correctly that the children's home has been actively, I'm going to use the term bidding, or putting other counties, I think they bid in Hillsborough County, but they picked somebody else.
We're transitioning to therapeutic foster home, or we're looking to transition to therapeutic foster home. It's a step higher, higher level of needs in Hillsborough County. Personally, being a Polk County boy, I would love to see him here, but there are some contracts available, and I know. So we are always looking to, I'll say this, we're always looking to provide for the needs that are there as that comes, because I would love to see it expand.
And the point I'm trying to make is that they're doing things on the cutting edge, and they're doing things that affect 300 to 400 kids, not only there, but they're reaching out in other parts of the state and other parts of our communities to bring that faith-based care to us locally.
Yeah.
And we thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Also, Jeff and Karen, stand up. Y'all know Jeff and Karen in the back. They've been our children's home rep for what, 10 years, 11? Since I've been here, plus before. So thank you for all that you've done. And Dwight and Phil, thank you for that you're taking over and what's going to be done there. So, okay, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
And you'll notice within your bulletin, there's the fifth Sunday envelope that you can make a donation to the children's home. And of course, you may not know this, but just so you do, that you can make a donation to the children's home anytime. You can write it on your check, you can put it on your envelope, whatever. It's set aside, and at the end of every month, Miss Sue takes what money has been collected for that particular month, and it is sent to the children's home, whatever it may be, however it may have came in. And if you don't believe me, ask Sandy, because she counts the money, and she keeps up with it too. So any of that stuff that you put on the checks, it gets to them, and they appreciate it, and we appreciate it. So this time I'll ask the ushers if they would come forward. We'll receive our offering. You can put your connection cards in there too if you filled those out.